because we must not be found in sin when he returns, and above all, because he himself has shed his blood to grant us pardon and to seal us for that day, let us draw near with sincere hearts, confess our sins to him, and to plead for the mercy he himself has bought for us. Lord Jesus Christ, our judge and our redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Therefore, we flee to find refuge in your holy wounds, looking and pleading for your grace now and on the day of judgment.
Merciful Savior, you bore our judgment on the cross to save us from damnation. Have mercy on us, and forgive us all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that we may await your coming with joy. Stand before you without fear, and by your grace alone, enter with you into the endless world to come. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I urge you of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let all the earth fear the Lord.
Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him.
Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord,
who stand by night in the house of the Lord.
Lift up your hands to the holy place,
and bless the Lord.
May the Lord bless you from Zion,
he who made heaven and earth.
Amen. Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King, is from the book of the prophet Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be afraid, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation upon the earth.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Amen. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the 1st chapter. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
There followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him, and when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' This is the gospel of the Lord. He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As the lightning flashes from east to west, the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his holy angels to reward everyone according to what each has done. He will come like a thief in the night. One will be taken and the other left.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The skies will disappear with a roar. The elements will disintegrate in the heat, and the earth and everything on it will be burned.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call and gather his chosen from the four winds. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We will all stand before Christ's judgment seat. Each of us will give an account of himself to God.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will say to those on his left, "Depart from me,
you who are cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will say to those on his right, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will change our lowly bodies to be like his own glorious body. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We look for new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom, and we shall be with the Lord forever, whose kingdom shall have no end.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Great, we confess, is the mystery of our faith. Jesus died.
Jesus died.
Jesus rose.
Jesus rose.
Jesus will come again.
Jesus will come again.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today are the words of Jesus from the cross, as we heard from Luke chapter 23. Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And later to the repentant criminal, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is our text. Now, some of us have been doing this for decades and decades, and some of us have been here for a handful of years, and some of us are relatively new. Today, we've arrived at what we call the last Sunday of the church year. We have a church calendar that we follow, and you could say that next Sunday will be the beginning of a new year. So I want to take a quick spin back through the calendar. We think where we've been over the last church year. We began in Advent. We heard about the promise of the Messiah, and we anticipated his coming. In Christmas, we celebrated his birth with great joy. In Lent, or in Epiphany, we marveled to see God shining through the flesh and blood of a man. In Lent, we were struck by how he suffered for us. On Good Friday, by how he died for us. And on Easter Sunday, by his glorious resurrection for us. We rejoiced at his ascension to the right hand of the Father and at the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church at Pentecost. And then we marched through the long green time of the church, spring, summer, and fall, as the Word took root in our lives, grew up, pruned our branches, and brought forth good fruit. And next week, as I said, we'll start all over again. Right back at Advent, in this beautiful rhythm of days and seasons. In the Psalms, it teaches us, it says this, it says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. For my own part, I find that the church calendar does that for me. The longer I live with this calendar, the more it begins to shape and form me and to press me into the mold of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're at the last Sunday, which means today we are looking toward the end. The last Sunday sets before us what are called the last things. There are four of them: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Today, we remember that we must die. Maybe you've heard the Latin phrase for this, memento mori. Sometimes people will have a skull and a candle reminding them of their coming death. Not that we really need another reminder. You've got the aches, you've got the pains, you've got the stresses and the medications and the doctor's appointments. And each one of those is another reminder that death is coming. Today we also remember that all of this, everything we see, all of it will come to an end. What we see around us is temporary, not eternal. There's a riddle you might have heard that talks about time. It says time devours all things. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays kings, ruins town, and beats high mountain down. Time is powerful, and it marches on. But today we remember that time is not divine. Time is not eternal. Time itself will finally run its course and be brought to its fullness. Perhaps you've got a game at home that has a sand timer in it. Pull it out this week. Turn that sand timer. It's a reminder. It tells the truth. Time is running out. Or rather, if you look at the bottom half, time is filling up. Time is filling up. And our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again in glory, and he is coming soon, and if not soon, then now. We believe that at the end of the world, Christ will appear for judgment and will raise all the dead. He will give the godly and elect, those who believe in him, eternal life and everlasting joys. But he will condemn the ungodly people and the devils to be tormented without end. Our Lord is coming again in glory. And when it comes to the last things, when it comes to the end of our lives or the end of the world, there are, in my mind, two false paths that we must be aware of. The two false paths to be aware of when we think about the end are the paths of speculation and the paths of fear. The first false path is the path of speculation. What do I mean? By speculation, I mean that there are all sorts of ideas and opinions out there about everything, but especially about the last things. I'm sure you could go to Barnes & Noble or pull up a podcast stream and find books and interviews about people who claim to have special knowledge related to death and the afterlife. I'm sure you could find as well countless different theories about the end of the world, the when and the where and the how it will all happen. There have been countless predictions for the end of the world. This week I pulled up Wikipedia, not always the best source, but it kind of does the job. And there are like pages and pages of lists of the predictions of the end of the world. And I'm sure there will be more. Even science has predictions about it. Exploding supernovas, rogue asteroids, super volcanoes, gamma rays, carbon dioxide starvation, and the sun swelling to the size of a red giant star, so that it swallows the earth. There's certainly an appeal to learning about these things. And I'd say some of it makes for really, really good science fiction. It scratches an itch for us. We human beings are knowledge creatures, and we want to know. We want to know everything, including the future. But here's the thing. We can't trust speculation. We can't trust opinions. We can't trust guesses and ideas. So don't get taken in by these things. What God wants us to know about the future, he's given us in his word, and I'll be honest, it doesn't answer every question you might have. What he says there is limited. Because when it comes to the future, God knows that knowledge isn't the key. It's not that we'd be better prepared if we knew more about it. The key to the future, the key to the end of our lives or of the world, is trust. Trust that our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose for us. Trust that he will come again in the fullness of time and bring to the completion the good work that he has begun in us. We don't need more to know more. We need to trust and believe more. And that's why our Lord has given us his word, that we might be strengthened not simply in our knowledge, but in our trust. That's why our gospel reading today points us not simply to the signs of the end, but it points us to Christ crucified. He is the one we need to see and to know as we look to the end. Speculation. Let's leave that behind. The second false path is the path of fear. It's related to the first, the path of fear and anxiety. You know, that's where speculation leads. And I don't just mean speculation about the end of all things, but when you start speculating about tomorrow or what's going to happen or how you're going to take care of something, what does it do? It just leads to fear and anxiety. Because it's based on something we cannot know, unfounded predictions and misinformation. It can even breed panic. Fear and faith don't play on the same team. Fear and faith are not like a pitcher and a catcher. They don't play well together. And our Lord wouldn't have us live like that. You know what he says, what Jesus says in the Gospels? Do not be anxious about what? About what you eat or what you drink or what you will wear. Don't worry about those things. Do you think he would then turn around in his word and say, oh, but do be anxious and worried about the end? Of course not. If we don't need to worry about the little things like food and drink and clothing, we certainly don't need to worry or be anxious or be afraid about the big things. Why are the scriptures written? St. John tells us, these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The point of the scriptures is not to cultivate fear, but to cultivate life, that we might live now and forever with Christ. St. John also tells us in his first letter, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I want to read it in the wider context here from 1 John chapter 4. He says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to believe and to know the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And that's why the church calendar places in front of our eyes today the crucifixion of our Lord. Not that his death isn't front and center every week, because it certainly is, but today we heard St. Luke's account of our Lord's suffering and death. There we see the perfect love of Jesus for us. There we see the love that suffers, bleeds, and dies for us. There we see the love that was willing to go to the end for us. For Jesus, there is neither speculation nor fear as he faces the cross. There is only trust as he cries out to his Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. St. John tells us that Jesus loved his own who were in the world to the end. All the way to his bleeding and dying. He loved you. And he will love you to the end as well. To the end of your life or to the end of this world, this creation. And it is his love. His love for you and for me that prepares us for the end. It is his love that makes us ready to die and ready for him to return. It is what he has done that prepares us. And that's why speculation is no good. Speculation just leads people down all these false paths, thinking they can prepare themselves in some way for the end. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he is the one that prepares us. And he is preparing us again. And he has given us words for the end. Precious words spoken from the cross. Precious words spoken in the face of death, judgment, and hell. Because that's what Jesus endured for us. The punishment of death, the judgment of the Father, and the suffering of hell. So as you remember the end, let these words of Jesus ring in your ears. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When your last hour draws near and you are about to close your eyes in the sleep of death, hear these words, Father, forgive them. Jesus praying for you as he shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And hear these words as well. Jesus, to that repentant criminal, one that you would have thought had missed the boat, his opportunity was over, but while he is dying on the cross, he comes to believe that Jesus is the Savior. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. When you see the signs of the end, when the world around you goes crazy with speculation and fear, remember this promise. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. For this is what we need, not only for the end, but for right now, and for the life he has given us here, his word of forgiveness and his promise of paradise. And this is what he has won for you, dear friend. He has won for you, not an end, but the endless world to come. A life free of sin. A resurrection of your body without pain or any of those aches that are reminding us of death. He has won for you heaven, and he promises it to you again today. So do not live in fear, but do live. Live in hope and in peace and in comfort and in confidence, because the judgment has already come and it fell on him, and he gave you forgiveness and salvation. And so our prayer, because of what Christ has done, is this: that our Father in heaven, when our last hour comes, would give us a blessed end and would graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. Remember these words, Father, forgive them. And today you will be with me in paradise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please stand. Before the blessing, I'd like to ask a prayer. O Lord, support us all the day long of this troubled life, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed. The fever of life is over and our work is done. Then, Lord, in your great mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. And peace at the last. Amen.
Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Christ, our King, live forever. You have made peace for us by the blood of your cross. You have pleaded with the Father for our pardon, and through you all things are reconciled to God. By your Spirit, lead us to endless joy and thanksgiving for this redemption. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
O Christ, our King, you have delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into your kingdom. In you we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Guard your congregation and your pastors,
Rule over your church with the forgiveness of sins and work all things together for her good until at last we rise with you, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O Christ, our King, through the womb of the Virgin Mary, you entered our world. Come, we pray, and bless our living nativity. Unite us as we prepare. Provide us with all that is needed to carry it through and use us to make your name known. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Christ, our King, by your atoning death, we are spared as sons and counted as treasured possessions of the Father. Bless all expectant mothers, including Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. And bless all Christian homes, that as the children of your kingdom, we would grow in the fear of the Lord, honor your name, serve you faithfully, and walk confidently through this life until all is revealed at the last day. Be with all who are going through major life changes, especially those who are downsizing or moving, those who are seeking work. Hear their prayers, provide for all their needs, and grant them your peace, Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, our King, let the earth fear you and all the world's inhabitants stand in awe of you, for you alone are King of kings and Lord of lords. Preserve those who fear you and serve you in this world, and those who maintain good government among us. Above all, come quickly, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom is not of this world, and our citizenship is with you in paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, our King, have mercy and deliver us from evil. For our sins, we honestly deserved your condemnation and calamity. Yet you have remembered us from your cross and given us access to the Father in your name. Deliver the troubled, the sick, and the dying, and preserve them in your kingdom forever. We especially pray for our sister Judy in her rehabilitation, for Mary Lou and Cindy as they undergo surgeries, for Kate with her testing, as well as for Diane, Tom, Marilyn, Lori, Melinda, Jared, Dale, Kay, Louise, and Dave. We thank you also for hearing our prayers for Marla's cousin, Dorothy, and we commend her into your hands. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, our King, you sacrificed yourself to save us, for you are indeed the Christ of God, his chosen one. Your body was given for us and your blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Bring us to your holy supper, mourning our own sins, that we would receive your kingdom in faith and be strengthened to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, our King, in your blood, the saints of all ages wash their robes and find entrance to paradise with you. We thank you for our sister Anita, who has now entered her eternal rest. Grant your comfort to Alan, Brenda, Stephen, and all who mourn her death, and give that same comfort to the family of Lucy Langelier. Bring us with all the saints out of death and the grave and into resurrection and eternal life at the last day, when we will see you crowned with glory. For you are the Lamb who was slain and now lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 90, starting at the ninth verse, a psalm of instruction. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. All our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but a toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger, the wrath according to the fear of you? So each of us is number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice, be glad in all our days. Make us glad for the many days as you have afflicted us, that your glorious power as your servants, your glorious power of your children, let the flavor of your Lord, our God, be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O Christ, our life, our Lord, our love, we thank you for coming to us veiled in bread and wine. Let what our bodies have received produce faith and love in our souls, that you may be pleased with us when you come unveiled to judge us and never to leave us again.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.